You're listening to the Audacious Church podcast, recorded live at our Manchester campus. For more information, visit audaciouschurch.com.
I got a group of friends that they're not part of church, and this particular group, they probably first got to know them maybe 3-4 years ago. And in those first few weeks, you're trying to work out, you know, a bit about each other and work out, you know, where they come from, background, and what they're into, interests and personalities. And just kind of subconsciously, you're finding out kind of your people. And one of the first questions you are going to ask is, what do you do? And you inadvertently, you're trying to find out who the person is. But the question we ask is, what do you do? It's actually helpful for me because when people ask me that question, it just opens up incredible conversations really quickly. And people say, what do you do? And I say, I'm a pastor. And they're like, you don't look like a priest. And I'm like, okay, what do you want me to do? Next time I'll come with my robes on. What are you expecting a priest to look like? But it opens up incredible conversations. But what we do is we expect certain things that people do to represent the type of person that they are. And yet oftentimes those things are not exactly true. You can't judge everything about a person just by the things that they do or the career path they're on. You can understand some things, but you definitely can't take your whole identity based on what somebody does. You can't understand who you are as a person just by what you do. Because if you do and you fall into that trap, what do you do when your sporting career is over in your late 30s and you're wondering what my whole identity was wrapped up in this career and now it's gone? What am I going to do? Or what is it if you're maybe a mother, becoming a mother, and you've been working so hard on a career, and then for a season that you are off on maternity leave, and your job is stripped away, and you ask the question, well, who am I without pursuing this path? It may be that you're a university student away from home, and all of the structure that's got you to where you are, and you're out of your home, and you're away from the friends that you've been so familiar with, away from your home church, and you land in a new city and everything's up for grabs. And you definitely at that point are asking yourself, well, who am I? Who am I now when all the scaffolding has gone around from has disappeared from my life? Maybe you're a teenager and your phone battery dies. And you don't have your phone attached to yourself. And it's like, we're asking ourselves, who am I? But every single one of us at some point, at a season or a stage of life, will be confronted with this question, who am I? And today, it's a question we're going to be looking at from a biblical perspective. We're going to take 3 weeks, morning and night, to look at some of these key questions philosophically, theologically, and practically about questions that every person asks. And today's question this morning is this question that is foundational and fundamental to everything about our life. The question is, who am I? So God, we just pray today that your word would speak to us. Lord, illuminate yourself to us, speak to us, reveal Jesus through your word, God. We pray your word, as it's sent forth, it would accomplish incredible things in our life. And we right now make a decision to submit to your word, to your presence, to your voice. God, we want to go away from this place encouraged, lifted up, but instructed as well. And so we pray, just teach us by your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. I want to encourage you, if you came last week for the very first time and you took up Pastor Paul's dare to come for 3 weeks, then really, this series is a really good series to take some notes. And I want to encourage you, go away from these Sundays and through the week, just ask yourself some questions, or even just open up prayers to God and say, God, would you speak to me about what I'm learning? And would you reveal yourself to me? And I believe that God will reveal Jesus to every person that knocks on the door. So you can have faith for that. But, you know, today as we look at this question, who am I? Where do we discover who am I? And I believe right from the beginning of the word, from the Bible, God outlines who we are. And so we're going to read Genesis chapter 1 today, this morning. So would you turn Genesis 1, verse number 26 to verse number 28. And the Bible says, God said, let us, speaking about God, one God, but in three persons, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. God the Father, God the Son, Jesus Christ, and God the Holy Spirit. Let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish of the sea and the birds in the sky, over every livestock, and over all the wild animals, and over all the creatures that move along the ground. Humanity is given authority over all of creation. Verse 27, so God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them, male and female. He created them. God blessed them, and he said to them, be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky and over every living creature that moves on the earth. Right here, this is powerful and fundamental, foundational scripture. The Bible really helping us to understand right from the start who we are. And so if we're going to live as a Christian, even if we're going to live as a person away from God, we can understand today who we have designed to be. We see here that God has designed, intelligently designed, handcrafted, and God-breathed every single human being on the face of the planet. Every person has been made in the image of God. Today, we are image bearers of God himself, both male and female, both the richest and the poorest, every ethnicity, every single person on the face of planet Earth, whether they're living for Jesus or are ignoring Jesus, every person carries the image of God. You today are an image bearer of the God who created you. It's really important that we understand that, because that is helping us to understand our identity does not come from our achievements, as good as they are, from our accolades, as impressive as they are. Our identity does not come from our feelings or our preferences. Our identity does not come from what somebody else has spoken over our life. Our identity does not come from our background or our upbringing or our teaching. Our identity comes from the God who created us in his image. So let's just have a look practically at a few things. If we understand we are all image bearers of God, we're all created in the image of God. What does that help us to understand about who am I? Number one, that I am a reflection. Number one, I'm a reflection. Verse 27, Genesis chapter number one, says that we are made in his image, in the likeness of God, male and female. He created them. When the Bible's speaking about the likeness and made in the image, the Hebrew words, tselem and demut, which these two words are used in other places in the Bible, and what they speak of is something that is similar but not identical to. They are images or representations of something that they are based upon. So when the Bible's speaking about us, that we are created in the image and in the likeness of God. The language used is similar to a statue that you might see that you look at and you know instantly what it's reflecting. And so we are created as reflections, images, likenesses similar to, but not identical to the God that created us. Last week, someone in the lounge stopped me, and this is always a sentence of dread for me on a Sunday morning. "I've just seen your boys." I'm like, uh-oh. What have they broken? What have they stolen? You know, what's going on? And I'm like, okay, I'm slightly like nervous. What's going to come next? And they're like, "No, I knew it was your boys because they are exactly like you." I was equally nervous by that point. But you know, they weren't referring to my deep brown eyes, because one of my sons, his eyes are blue. When they said they're exactly like you, they weren't saying that they have freckles, that in the summer, you basically, the goal is just get your freckles to all join together, and that is your suntan. Because one of my sons, he has no freckles. Well, he has one, actually. But they weren't referring to specific or just unique things about me. They were referring to the essence of who I am. It was just they saw them across the room, and they could tell by the way they walk and the way they talk and the way they interact and what they're doing. They could just see, I know whose sons they are. They represent a father, and you can see in the likeness, in the image, who they are from. And the same is true for every human being, that we create, we are reflections of the God who created us. We see in ourselves something of the nature and the character of God. Millard Erickson, in the book Christian Theology, talked about three areas of similarity. And the first area is substantive similarity. And this is speaking about the fact that we can relate to something other than us. That every single human is looking for something other, or people might describe it as something out there, or a higher power, or there must be something bigger than us. There may be a God, and it's innate in every human that we're looking for something other, with more authority, with more power, with more reason to help us define our being. And this shows us something about the God who created us. This area of similarity impacts our morality, the fact that we innately know things that are right and wrong, good and bad, what we ought to do and what we ought not to do. We know internally when we're doing something that we feel like we're not sure if this is right, that we should act like this, or we should speak like this, or we should do these things. We innately know there's something about morality. The next area that he speaks about is relational similarity. And that's the fact that humanity has this unique ability to relate to one another and find meaning and purpose, not just in our own unique gifting, but also in our united purpose. That we can relate to each other and deepen our levels of connection and togetherness. That we can do things together that have greater worth than the sum of our individual parts. And the last area is a functional similarity. And that's the fact that we have been given responsibility. The Bible says that we have authority. And so the fact that we have dominion over all of creation, and that we understand that we are in charge of stewarding this earth and its creation, we understand that that reveals something to us about a God who created us. And so if we all kind of know that we come from something, created by something, then that should point us to pursue that God. And so we understand as we read the word. When we read the word, we not only understand more about this incredible, all-powerful, all-knowing God, but as we get to know him, we also discover, because we are a reflection of this God, we actually understand more about ourselves when we read the word. I want to encourage you, if you want to know about who you are and what you're here to do, then less testing and more reading the word. Less profiling and more opening the Bible. Less looking on Instagram and TikTok for what people might say about us and more opening the Bible. Because when you read the word, you understand who you are. So we've got to understand that when we read the word, we understand the image that we're called to bear. Colossians 1 verse 15 says, the Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. And so we read his word, and when we read about the life of Jesus, who we know that Jesus historically, factually walked the face of the planet, and the cross that we looked at last week in Easter and celebrated the incredible death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ are historical facts. When we know this, we understand Jesus was a physical 100% human being, but at the same time, he was 100% God. God the Son. And when we see Jesus and the life that he lived, we understand that Jesus was not made in the image as we are. Jesus is the image. And so when you look at Jesus, you see the image personified, fleshed out on the face of the earth. And so this helps us to understand how we can reflect God in our world through replicating and following the ways and the person of Jesus. It's no surprise that when we follow him and we follow his words, we experience what he said we would experience, which is, I have come, John 10:10, to give you life and life to the full. The most fruitful and fulfilling and effective and efficient life is when you live in alignment to Jesus and Jesus' ways. It's no surprise where you go, oh, this makes sense. I've found the more I align my behaviors, my patterns, my thinking, my behavior, everything about me, the more I'm able to align myself with the life of Jesus, the more fulfilling and fruitful I find my life is. Because we are designed as a reflection of the God who made us in his image. The second thing about being about who I am is, number two, I am valuable. Every person in this room, whether you acknowledge Jesus or not, you have inherent value. You have inherent dignity. You've been uniquely created. The Bible describes mankind as the pinnacle of God's creation. The rest of creation, God said, and it was. But with humanity, he picked up the dust and he handcrafted humanity. And then he breathed into our bodies, into our flesh. And so we have been handcrafted by God, and his breath runs through our life. We are the pinnacle of God's creation, commissioned to steward all of his creation. The Bible uses language like to rule over, to have dominion over. And so we have authority that has been given to us by God. And so every single person has inherent value. As good and as incredible and as wonderful as all of creation is, as you take a walk in the countryside and look over incredible miles of landscape that you can't see when you look out of your window necessarily, and you breathe in the fresh air of miles of fields and water rather than miles of the M60. And when you look up into the stars and you see incredible stars and The wonder of people traveling in space, and it blows our minds that the creation is this vast. And we think about the depths of the ocean and the life that is in the ocean that may we haven't even discovered or seen. As good and as incredible as all of this creation is, the most powerful and wonderful part of God's creation is in this room right now. Every single one of us has a fingerprint of God on our lives. We are handcrafted by God. God breathed, intelligently designed, and we are the pinnacle of His creation. Today, you are incredibly valuable. In my pocket, I have a 10-pound crisp, fresh note here that my daughter drew out of an ATM this morning. I gave her responsibility. Here's my bank card. She said, can I keep it all day? And my answer, parents, was no. She drew out this fresh, clean 10-pound note. It's crisp. It kind of looked like it'd never been used before. And we understand that this is worth how much? This actual physical material is worth not a lot. This is a token. This is a voucher that entitles the owner to something of the value, according to the person who's selling, of something worth 10 pounds. And this piece of paper is just a token that I am handing over a voucher. But we understand, even though this paper is worth not very much at all, we understand the value of it to anyone that holds it is 10 pounds. But what if I was to scrunch all this up like that, throw it on the floor, spit on it, stamp on it, just leave it, discard it? How much is that worth now? See, it still holds the same value to anyone that picks it up. It still holds the same value. And the same is true in our lives. It doesn't really matter what's happened in your life, what's been spoken over you, what words you have written on your life, the background that you grew up in, the abuse that you faced, you still hold the value that the Creator says you hold. Psalm 139, verse 13 to 16 says, you created my inmost being. Well, listen to this, the Word of God. Foundational, fundamental truth that defines everything about humanity. It gives us reason and purpose and meaning. It makes sense of life. And this is what the Bible says, that God, an intelligent designer, creator God, created us through our inmost being, that God knit us together. Not from our first breath, but in our mother's womb. I praise you, God, because I am fearfully and I am wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well my frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed body. Even before I was knit together, God, you were looking over me. You were speaking over me. You were thinking about me. Your words were spoken over me. You saw me when nobody saw me. You continue to see me when nobody sees me. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before anybody said what my life would account to, what it would amount to, or what it wouldn't. God, you wrote everything about my life from beginning to end before one of them came to be. This is our God, the God that we can be in right relationship with the Creator who made you. You have incredible value and meaning and purpose, which means you can put your shoulders back and lift your head up. It doesn't matter what anybody else has said about you. It doesn't matter what you've been through. You've been created by God. You have incredible value. Not one single person in this room is a mistake or an accident. You've been created on purpose for a purpose. That God has something uniquely for you that is also part of something that relies on your gift, something bigger than you. And every single one of us has been incredibly valuable to God. Ephesians 2 verse 10 says that you are God's masterpiece. God's thoughts and words and eyes are over you and towards you. We could understand, wow, thank you, God. Before I knew you or your word, I was just the sum of my thoughts, other people's declarations. I was just the sum of my successes and my scrambling for something of meaning. But now, God, thank you to your word. You've revealed that I hold incredible intrinsic value before I even took a breath. God, I'm a reflection of you. God, I am valuable. And the last thing is this, I am responsible. Verse 28 of Genesis chapter 1, the Bible says that humanity, we have been given dominion, authority, and rulership over all of God's creation. That we are here to make decisions, to rule over, to steward every resource that God gifts and gives to us. That not one of us is a victim in this room. Every single one of us has given authority and dominion. And the Bible says that we even have authority and dominion, possibility, even over something that feels as intangible as thoughts, feelings, and ideas. That we are able to make a decision cognitively. The Bible says that you are able to take captive every thought. Take every thought, even though you can't hold it, it's not material, it doesn't feel like you could put it on a table and talk about it, it just pops in your mind. The Bible says that you've been given such authority that you are able to take every thought and you're able to lock it up for a moment and then decide, what am I going to do with that thought? And the Bible says that you are able then to decide thought, are you aligned to God and his ways or not? And if you're not, I'm going to make you obedient to God. And this is incredible, the authority, power, and dominion that God has gifted all of humanity. That we don't have to stand back and play victim to anything in our lives. As a staff team here at church, we've been looking at this idea of taking extreme ownership. That every single person in our team is going to make an individual decision for the group benefit. That we're just going to own anything. We're going to take responsibility because we understand biblically that God has hardwired that into every one of us. And so whenever we shift blame, what we're doing is we are saying we are not given the value that God has already given to us. We hand back our value. We say, I am not worth that. We don't take the authority that God has given to us. And so as a team, if something goes wrong or there's a miscommunication, our first response, and we're teaching ourselves to do this, and I'm definitely teaching myself to try and do this, is what have I done wrong? What have I miscommunicated? What have I not acted on? What's my part to play? Before I shift blame onto somebody else, what can I learn from this? What can I do better? Because this is what God has designed for every single person to live like. It's amazing that what we see in Genesis, mankind created, and then they fell because God had given them free will. One of the first things that we see mankind do is Eve takes the fruit, gives it to Adam, and Adam eats of the fruit. And then God says, wow, you have just taken something that is the one thing I said don't take. God gives us boundaries for our benefit so that we can live with life and life to the full. But because of our own free will, we made a decision to ignore, disobey God, and humanity ate of the fruit that was forbidden for them. What was the first thing that Adam did? He said, well, me? It wasn't my fault. It was the woman. She gave me the fruit. And in that moment, the first act of a fallen man is to shift blame to somebody else. Somebody else's fault. Is it no surprise that our first response in most situations is to blame the other driver? Or to blame our work colleague, or try and find fault with something else in the system? It's never our fault. We always want to shift blame. But every time we do that, we devalue the God design handprint and fingerprint on our lives. The moment we make a decision, I'm going to take extreme ownership. I'm going to take responsibility. What you're doing is saying, I'm going to be who God has created me to be. Because it's only when we take ownership over every part of our lives that we have ability to have authority over every part of our lives. And if we want authority, then we've got to take ownership. And so I'm going to take ownership over my feelings. My feelings are given by God, but I do not bow down to my feelings. No, I lead myself. My thoughts, I'm not captive to my thoughts. No, I make my thoughts captive. The words of other people, I get to decide how they're going to impact me. My responsibility is not what they say about me, what would they think about me. My responsibility is to be who God's called me to be. And this is taking our responsibility that's been hardwired by God. So come on, we've got to be a church and a people, individuals and a group, that if we want to make a difference in our world, we've got to be who God has designed us to be. Who am I? I am a fingerprint or a representation or a reflection of the God who created me. I am valuable. I am responsible. And today, the fundamental thing that every single one of us has responsibility for is not only our creativity or our gifting or what God's put in us. We don't just have responsibility for our commission, our purpose. But fundamentally, every person in this room, we have responsibility for our condition. My condition before God. We've been gifted with free will. And God has done everything that He can to bridge the gap between us and Him. But He's given us the authority to make our decision, to make our response. And firstly, what I want to do is encourage every person in this room, if you don't yet know Jesus, you want a relationship with Him, then today you can make a decision. You know, the incredible thing is that we were created by God. We've understood that He knit us together in our mother's womb. He was looking over us before one of our days came to be, and He knew about this day. And today we have the ability to come home, to come back into a right relationship with Jesus. I wonder if today is the decision day for you. I wonder if this is the moment. Every one of us, the Bible says that we've fallen short from the glory of God. So a moment ago, I told you about the account in Genesis where we see mankind turning their back on God, deciding to do things their own way. But the Bible says that, we celebrated last week in the incredible account, the Easter story, is Jesus came, sent by the Father to be a sacrifice for us. Because God is not only a merciful God, He is also a just God. And so God wanted to extend His grace, but He needed a price to be paid. And Jesus took it on Himself under the Father's authority. He said, not my will, but your will be done. And He laid down His life to pay the price that we should have paid. And what that did is given us an open door to relationship with God. One day, as we sung about earlier, all things will be made new. That is the incredible story in 2 minutes of the entire arc of the Bible. The entire arc of human history finds meaning and purpose in that incredible story. And today, this is your moment, part of the story. Every head bowed, every eye closed. You're here and you don't yet know Jesus, but you're thinking, today's my day. I want to make a decision for Jesus. You may have run far away from him, but today you need to come home. I want to encourage you today, make that decision. You're saying yes to Jesus today for the first time, or you're coming back into a right relationship with him. Would you quickly just pop your hand in the air? I just want to know who I'm praying for today. If that's you, come on, lift your hand up. I see you. There's others here. I see you. Yeah, I've got you there. I see you. Others here, just pop your hand in the air. Say, that's me today. I'm going to say yes to Jesus for the first time. Or I'm coming back into a right relationship with him. Join these people right now. Come on, just lift your hands up. I'm not going to embarrass you today. I just want to know who I'm praying for with every head bowed and every eye closed. If that's you, pop your hand in the air. Join these people. Go on, if that's you, just lift your hand up. See, that's me today. I'm saying yes to Jesus. It's 5 more seconds. But yeah, I see you. Don't miss this moment. 4, 3, 2. Last moment, just pop your hand up, say, that's me today. I want to say yes to Jesus. I want to come back into a right relationship with him. Pop your hand in the air. Yeah, I see you. I see you. There's others here. Last second, 1. Incredible. I'm going to pray for you. I just want to ask every person that raised your hand, just pop your hand in the air again. So as I'm praying for you, I just want to be able to see you. Yep. Got you. Yep. At the back. Yeah. Lord, I pray for every one of these people with hands raised today, acknowledging Jesus. I need you in my life. I need to come back into a right relationship with God. Pray as they're making that decision. Thank you, God. The Bible says if we knock, the door shall be open. That you'll make your home in our life. And I thank you this decision just to start a journey of living for you, following your ways, turning our back on our past, our sin, our separation from God. Thank you today we can be in right relationship with you. And as we make that decision right now, thank you, God, that you come into our lives. You make your home in our hearts. Thank you, Jesus. Can we give all those people a huge round of applause? I want to encourage you. I'm going to just tell you in a few moments the next step for you. There's always just another step. Our life as Christians is always another step. But if you made that decision today, there is a next step that's really going to help you to get strong and start to walk and understand who God is and what that means to your life. We'll tell you that in a moment. But what's just happened, if you've made that decision, you've responded in your heart, the Bible says in a moment, the Bible says the 4th thing about who am I that is reserved to every believer, every Christian is, number 4, I am a child of God. I am a child of God. And that makes all the difference. The minute you come back to Jesus, you say, God, I'm going to submit my ways. I'm going to surrender my heart. The Bible says in that moment, you are adopted into his family, that you are sons and now co-heirs with Jesus Christ. Everything changes in a moment. I remember 19 years old when I made that decision really in my heart. And I recognized in a moment, practically, I was still looking at similar circumstances and environments. But I knew in my heart, in that moment, everything had changed. And today, in a moment, everything has changed. You are a child of God. every Christian in this room. You don't need to be consumed by everything else. But today, your fundamental identity is that you are a child of God. Whatever you're a child of makes all of the difference in terms of what the word's spoken of you, the value of those, and the ways of the family that you are in, the inheritance that comes with that family. All of that changes in a moment, and God has adopted you into his family, and you in a moment receive every spiritual blessing. And every single one of us, we have the fullness of God. The fullness of God. Wherever we go this week, we can make a difference, not because of what we do, not because of our personality, not because of our gifts or our talents, not because of our successes. But this week, every person in this room, we can make a difference because I'm a reflection of God. I'm valuable to this environment. I'm valuable to God, and therefore I'm valuable wherever I go. I mean something. I'm important. I'm a child of God. And every step you step this week, people can look at you and go, wow, something different about your life. You seem to be representing something bigger than just yourself. You watch the opportunities, the conversations that come across your table when you live out who you've been called to be. And that is a child of God. Would you stand to your feet? I want to just pray for one last group of people, and that's people that you feel like life has pushed you down, and you're full of comparison to others. You may have had real significant challenges in your life. You may have had real and significant abuses in different environments, different ways, manifestations. But there have been things, words spoken, actions against you that you've not been responsible for, and have been real and tangible to you, and is impacting who you see yourself as. But God wants you to know today that you are significant and of significant worth, that before anybody got their hands or their words on your life, Jesus saw you. God saw you. He formed you. He created you. He knows you. And he wants to restore to you today the years that these things in your life have robbed from you. You feel like significant memories and moments in life have been stolen from you. Even stages of life, you feel like that has been ripped away from me. Today, I'd love to pray for you, and I'm believing in this moment that the Holy Spirit can heal hearts, heal minds, and can speak to you about your incredible value and worth. I want every eye to be closed for this moment. That's you, and you're just believing, God, I need you. I need you. Would you just raise both hands, just saying, God, speak to me. That's me. That's me. That's me. I've had significant moments, memories, stages of my life that have been ripped and robbed from me. But God can restore to you those moments. God can restore to you life, joy. God can restore in this moment peace. God can restore purpose to you. That God is even able to turn all things around for good. Even as illogical as that might seem in your mind, God is able to turn those things around, that your story can bring breakthrough for other people. Lord, I pray for healing touch right now. Holy Spirit, just move. through this auditorium with every hand raised. I pray, even right now, breath of God, bring the peace of God that comes wherever your presence is. Peace that would guard hearts and guard minds. Restore purpose, meaning, value right now. May they see the words of the Bible have been spoken and declared today, that your word is true. Your word is true. It's foundational in our lives. And we find our meaning and our purpose and our identity, not in any of these things that have happened to us, any words spoken over us, but we find them in who you are, who you say we are, and how you created us to be. So saturate us by your presence in the name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the Audacious Church podcast. For more information, visit audaciouschurch.com.